So we're going to start. So we're talking about Achnasat Orchim. So Achnasat Orchim says, Gdola Achnasat Orchim Yoter Mashkamat Bet HaMidrash. Achnasat Orchim, welcome your guests entering is Gadol. Tiftach et hadalet, tiftach rek shniyah et hadalet. Open the door a second. Okay, so is the chashuv more than getting up early for Beis HaMidrash? So what is that? What does that mean? What is that? What's the practical thing over here? Okay, now mashkin le Beis HaMidrash b'giyuchim. Someone got early to go to learning. Okay, not davening is a set time. But let's say you're going to daven, you're going to learn. And guest came and there's no one at home to receive them. He lives alone or whatever. Right now he's home alone. Or that's oshem chashuvim. First, he has to welcome them and make them sure that everything's okay with them. And afterwards, he should go. But if there's other people in the house that will welcome them, so he's a bye-bye and he goes to learn. There's a story I was reading now, but in one of these Shabbos Alonim, but it's in the middle of the story, so I can tell you only half the story, and next week I'll tell you the next half. I could if you want. It's a very interesting story. There's a guy. There's a big, big, huge Talmid Chacham. Huge. He came to Yerushalayim when he was like 13 or 14. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefer wanted him to join the Badatz in Yerushalayim. As a kid, a 14-year-old kid. He was a genius. He knew everything. He said, no, I don't want to be a Rav. I don't want to get money for being a Rav. I want to open a business. And he went to Tel Aviv when he got older and he opened the business of clothing. Make clothing. But he had a time between 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the afternoon. He had a room. He locked himself in the room. He used to sit and learn. Nothing could bother him. He doesn't care about anything. One day, and then he had also a shutaf, a partner with him. Not by the learning, but the business. Learning is to learn alone. One day, it came, I guess this is before the state, I guess it was, and came to Tel Aviv from Egypt, Mishlachat. How do you say Mishlachat? A group. A what?
Mission.
They came, they wanted to make big business, like big time, like something like millions. Worth a million amash, very big. They were supposed to come at 12 o'clock, but they missed the train, so they came only at 2. That's exactly when he went into the room, and he locked the doors, so they came in. So the partner said, listen, my owner is not, my partner is not here, he also has to sign with me. Let's see what we could do in the meantime. And if we're finished with everything, so then we'll. Well, I'll try it, whatever. Maybe till then, they'll go out of the room. So they sit, and they made a whole deal, and a mash, very good contract, everything. And they did it. It was pretty fast, 1 hour maybe. And then they said, okay, where's your partner? We want to start to sign, and we have to go. We can't wait here all day. So he said, listen, till 6 o'clock, he's not around. It's 6 o'clock, he will come. Till 6, we have to wait now for 3 hours, no way. I'll try to go get it. So he goes to the door and he starts screaming, Rabbi, whatever, Yaakov, I don't remember his name. Rabbi Yisrael, come. No answer. He comes back, listen, he doesn't answer. Maybe wait, we have to go. He goes back, he's bound the other door. Just sign the contract, you don't have to even talk, just sign it and we'll go. Nothing, silent. So he went back, he said either he doesn't hear or he doesn't want to hear. One or the other, could be here, doesn't want to open the door. So they said, it can't be he doesn't want to open the door. It's millions, it's impossible he doesn't want to open the door. He probably doesn't hear you. Send someone in. So he went to his wife. The partner went to the wife of the guy who was learning. And he told her, listen, it's a millions, whatever, we have to do something. How do we get your husband out of the room? Oh, well, send my son, he's skinny, he can get through the window. And he could get him out of the learning. So they sent the son, and he said, listen, he said, Abba, Ima said, it's very important. He said, till 6, so he said, the father, till 6 o'clock, I don't know business, I don't know anything, I'm learning. Go leave. Leave the way you got in. Okay, so. And then they stop the story over there, and next week we'll continue it. Well, it's a good story, huh? In the meantime.
Incredible.
Now we have to wait to see what happened at the end. But in the meantime, he's willing to lose millions just because it's his hours of learning. If someone's going to leave the house to go diving with a minion, and a guest came, if the guest might get hurt if he doesn't welcome him, so then, and he doesn't have another minion that's going to be around, not if he's going to miss the davening. There's no, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's the only minion now in the neighborhood. And afterwards, he won't have a minion. Okay? So then, it seems like he has to welcome his guest and not go davening with the minion, davening alone afterwards. Unless he's able to say, listen, I'm just going to run out to daven, I'll be back in 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Feel at home and he can run out, fine. But if he can't do that, or he knows his guest is important, every minute, let's say it's a big tzaddik coming, and he has 20 minutes now to be with him. So what he's going to do? So he has to stay with him and not ask him. Okay. There's all kinds of laws with Achnasat Orchim, stuff that can happen when you have guests. Sometimes you bring guests in, and they act in a certain way which is not good for the house. You have children in the house or whatever. Come not new, that they talk certain things that you don't want your kids to hear. Okay? Some guests cause shalom bias problems, like family guests and stuff. Some guests sometimes cause shalom bias problems. Okay? Sometimes you invite a guest to come and he he's going to drive there on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah, who knows. Okay? Sometimes you have a guest over and you have to serve him to eat and you know, he's going to eat without a bracha. What kinds of issues that we're going to learn now in this chapter about having guests. So what's a guest, Bichlal? Achnasat Orchim noeged ben b'orchim ashirim ben b'aniim. Achnasat Orchim is both by rich people and by poor, meaning the mitzvah is to host also rich people and also poor people. Sometimes it can be a very rich man, And now he's in a town where he doesn't know anyone. There's no kosher food, or even if there is, he's lonely. He doesn't want to eat alone in a Shabbos in a hotel somewhere. He doesn't know where he is. Okay? So it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to host him, to give him a good challenge, and to give him a good feeling, and to host him. Even though he has plenty of money, he can buy your whole house. It doesn't go by how much money he has; it goes by what he needs. He needs now to be hosted, so there's a host. And of course, if it's a poor person who doesn't have money, for his own meal, b'chlam. Okay? So also then, it's a mitzvah to host him, of course. It's a mitzvah to host adults, it's a mitzvah to host kids also. Right? Your children, you brought over friends, it's a mitzvah to d'oraisa to host them in a nice way, and to serve them and everything. There's only one difference when you host a rich person than hosting a poor person. If you host a rich person, you're mekayim the mitzvah of achnasat orchim. If you host a poor person, you're mekayim the mitzvah of achnasat orchim, and the mitzvah of tzedakah. You're doing tzedakah with the person, you're giving him food to eat. There's a special advantage of hosting a Talmid Chacham in the house also, like the Gemara says. Someone who hosts a Talmid Chacham, it's like bringing Korban Tamid. So if someone hosts a Talmid Chacham who's poor, so he's hosting a Talmid Chacham, achnasat orchim, and mitzvah tzedakah. And it says that also that when someone hosts guests, any guest, it says in the Gemara that the Gemara brachos, I think, at the time the mitzvah was kayam, so there was the Beis HaMikdash, the mizbeach used to be mechaper, used to atone for a person. Now that the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist, so the table of a person atones for him. What does that mean? That he has orchim, he has guests on his table. So especially, it used to be in other places that they used to have a table for aniim in every simcha. I'll tell you once, I went to Shimon HaTzadik. This year was maybe half a year ago, maybe longer. I went to Shimon HaTzadik. I was doing bodhidut, longing bodhidut, and I was very hungry. Usually there's food over there. But that day, I don't know, he didn't bring it or he came later. I don't know what happened. I was really hungry. And then the guy who did a bris over there, right? And he had a big meal. And he had the whole table. Oh, a lot of people that he didn't know. We all sat down, we ate. No one says a word. Today, if you don't have a card, you don't go into the wedding. Who are you? What are you doing here? I like the simple weddings where whoever wants just walks in. Person goes, collects tzedakah, and he sits down. That's the real wedding. That's the way it's, that's the Jewish way. Not the, he has permission for the Baal HaBayit to collect here. What are you doing over here? They leave. Mazes, it's Tzedom Ve'Amorah. Because if you're covered, you're not having a zeh. The Baal HaBayit should go around. My uncle, he made a simcha. Achnasat Sefer Torah, they made for my grandfather, Zichron Levracha. It was a big studa. And a guy in Beit Shemesh, and the guy came and he was collecting money. So he asked me, who's the Baal HaBayit? And he went over to, I told him, my uncle's paying for it, so it was my uncle. And my uncle said, sure, betach. And my uncle himself went around with him. He said, this guy just had triplets, please help him. And he got a lot of money from that. But that's the way to do it. Not that the, should always have extra, should always have fathers. This whole thing with the table is a good thing in one hand, but not, it shouldn't be only this. But here in Eretz Yisrael, in every hall, there's the people going out.
Not in America. Only Hasidic weddings.
If someone was bothering everyone, it's one thing, but if someone's not going around collecting, very good. Amala.
Okay.
Yeah. Very nice. Amala. And if he's hungry, sit and eat. What's the big deal? He's not doing gezer.
What if it was 10 of them?
What?
What if there's 10 guys?
Yeah. So you pay extra to the caterer.
I mean, you give to all 10, right?
If you have, yeah. A lot of times people make weddings. Everyone remembers the halacha in Purim. That the halacha mefureshet spend more on matanot le'avyonim than on your shalachmanes in the seuda. Right? The halacha like that. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Spend more on matanas le'avyonim than on the meal and the shachmanas. Right? Why is that? If someone makes the poor people happy and the widows and the orphans, Hashem will make his heart happy. Yeah? And also everyone else by the chagim also. Yeah? How much is it important to... That's where you have to put it. So people make weddings. Who knows what? My friend is making a wedding now soon. And he committed to the family that each side is going to give 80,000 shekels for an apartment, besides the wedding. Make a very cheap wedding. They make maybe 20,000 shekel wedding each side. Very cheap. Cheapest you can make. 20,000 shekels each side for the wedding. And then 80,000 each side to start up the down payment for an apartment. So he tells me like this. I go to people, I ask them for a tzedakah for the wedding, and they ask me, what, it's for an apartment? I said, yes. No, we don't give for apartments. And when he makes the wedding, he can buy 3 apartments with the amount of money that he makes the wedding. And I know people like that, they make weddings, millions. They don't buy the kids apartments, right? They spend so much money on their own cupboard and stupidities. I was at a wedding, I once mentioned, and there was, not each table, almost each table had, every other table had, beautiful big bouquet of flowers, real. So my wife tells me, you see these flowers, each one we could pay rent with, each one we could pay 4,000 shekels a piece. 4,000 shekels a piece. Cut up the flower, take all that money and give it to people who learn Torah. You're holding the world. Put on flowers, you're taking your money and put it down the drain. Besides the fact that in this specific wedding I'm talking about, the Chassan Kal couldn't care less any flowers, anything. They would make the wedding in the forest. It's just that their parents are very mechubad people, so they had to spend 2 million shekels on the wedding or whatever it was. And it was very sad. They took money and flushed it down the toilet. Instead of taking money and putting it in important things. Even buying your kid's apartment is more important than putting it on stupid flowers. And there were about 1,000 people at the wedding. So at least, 100 tables, so it's 40,000 shekels on flowers.
On that point, what is the absolute cheapest you can do a wedding?
Here?
Yeah.
For free. You can do it for free. You go to a base of tavshil. No, but like, let's say a normal wedding, was that? You could spend 10,000 shekels, 15,000 shekels. Small, nice wedding. 20,000 shekels, no. You can make a wedding.
I mean, is there
my wedding, my parents spent, each side spent 17,000 shekels for the whole wedding.
17?
Yeah. 17,000 shekels. I mean, the kibbutz and the cheder ochel was beautiful. The food was great.
Our
the band was great. Everything was great. I'm telling you, I'm probably happier than a lot of people that made fancy weddings. It doesn't go by the wedding.
Our wedding was $200.
Yeah, the point is that.
Because we'd rather spend it on everything else than the wedding.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. So, no, but someone that people are young getting married, of course, you do simcha and everything, and you can do it very nice and everything. But I want to say that when someone comes collecting money for a wedding, even if he's buying his kid, putting down payment for his apartment, don't think he's probably spending a lot less than other people on the wedding itself. A lot less. People will spend a lot less than people will spend with the apartment that he's buying his son somewhere in a chol, in a loch, somewhere in the corner of the country. Now that he's buying the apartment in Yerushalayim. No. Yeah. Just saying, get the concept of tzedakah that we're doing with Talmidei Chachamim. It's very chashuv, very chashuv. Holding the world. Machzik et ha'olam. Oh, I have a great story. A lot of stories today. Allah chazuz, maybe lots of stories, huh? I read last night a great story. It was a guy. He did tshuva. He was a chozer b'tshuva, and he wanted to sit and learn and leave the whole world. But his rav told him, like a lot of rabbanim tell people about tshuva, no, you can't sit and learn. Why not? No, because you're a professional accountant. You have to use your abilities to help the yeshiva world. So he said, you know what? So he went to the Rosh Kollel where he was very close to the Rav and he had the whole Kollel over there. He said, he knocked on the door, he said, Rav, I'm a finance?
Certified public accountant.
Kid, whatever you need now, I'm your Evet, I'm your slave. Whatever the yeshiva needs, I could also be the driver, I could also be the cleaner, whatever, and also an accountant, whatever the yeshiva. Oh, beautiful, just yesterday, the accountant left. Shemayim. So he had the big schools, he also worked in a separate job, and also he did this, and he did all the money for all the avrechim, and he said it, whatever, and he was sorry every time he took out money from the avrechim, he had to take off, they were late, or whatever, he added a lot of times from his own money to them, his meister money, that. Beautifully, he said, I know it's the most important thing, that these avrechim were sitting to learn. And then one day, there was avrech, where they found some disease that he had, he had to go through an operation, the whole thing, a whole long thing. So they knew it was going to take long, so he went to the Rosh Kollel, and the Rosh Kollel, he tells him the situation, the Rosh Kollel tells him, don't worry, we're not going to cut off from your check anything, you're part of our Kollel, you're like my son, everything will be okay. And he has like 10 kids at home. So the guy says, Arav, I didn't ask for the money, I came, to, you'll daven for me, because tomorrow I'm going into the operation. So the son, of course we'll daven for you, you're like my son, and also we're going to give you the check. Yeah, and we're not going to take less of any penny. So it took a year and a half, 18 months, for him to go through another thing. And after he recovered, a week and everything, he recovered. And he comes back to the Kohen. And he goes into the Rosh Hashiva. And he gives him an envelope and he leaves. The Rosh Hashiva opens the envelope. And there were 18 checks in there. He didn't use them. So he called him back. He says, well, Mazel, why didn't you? I gave you the money. For you, for the family, so you recover. He said, people donate this money so I sit and learn Torah. And I did not sit and learn Torah. I couldn't. I can't take from other people who gave it. Even though, right, they gave it to you, you could do whatever you want with the money. But they want people to sit and learn. And I didn't sit and learn. So we decided, me and my wife, we managed, okay? We're giving back the money. And then he added another thing. He said, and now the fact that I didn't cash the checks, the money stayed in the koiler, and you probably used it for other people who are learning. And I'm sure, he said, I'm sure that part of my recovery is because that I donated all my checks to the koiler, back to the koiler. You see the munah that he had, and the power, it's true, it's the power of the Torah. He donated money for avrechim that they were able to sit and learn. It's a big zechut. It's a big scoot. I know a guy who has plenty of money. Okay? And he donates his check back to the yeshiva here. More than one person I know to do this. They donate their check back to the yeshiva. Big scoot. Big scoot. Get out there. It's nothing to do with helping the yeshiva. You're helping the world. You're helping Hashem's glory come back to the world. I want to say that a little bit off the topic, but...
It was right on topic.
Okay. Okay. Imagine the guy brought the soup here. What is chus he has? It's my lunch. I didn't bring with me anything today. A guest is someone who has nowhere to eat or to sleep. And this includes someone who has a house where he lives, but now he came to a different city and he has nowhere to eat and sleep. Can, but someone who lives in the city and he just comes to my house as a visit is not considered a oreach. He has his own house, he has his food, he has his bed. He just came to my house for the evening for a meal, stop for as a friend.
Can? Same city.
Can just stay there, yeah, same city. Yeah. You can go to his house and he, or someone. I'll tell you more than that. If someone today we have cars going from Ushuaia to Tel Aviv. Rabbi Ezra, Rochava. Someone has the same we have a car. If someone has a car and he goes back and forth and he lives an hour away, Bechemesh, Yerushalayim, it's all like one. I would say it's all like one. Maybe for food not, because he has to go all the way, he's not gonna go alone. But for sleep, usually people go home.
So in those cases it's not.
Maybe it's not. Maybe for food, yes.
Allah is working doesn't change
faces. Not halacha, not the Raisa. But I remember where I was places I was in the world. Amash people hosted. I was in Amsterdam. And me and my friend, we don't like to be hosted. We like to stay in the shul. There's always a good carpet or a nice bench to host us. But this guy insisted, no, you must come to my house. I'm waiting for you. And he sent us to the house. He said, tell us where the house is, or whatever. Then we stayed by him like a few days out of the week that we were in Amsterdam. He gave us a bed, he gave us meals, everything. Is that mitzvah? The Raisa Legam doesn't know who we are, doesn't know what's up with us, anything. And besides the fact that we were very close to Rav Arush afterwards, he went to Rav Berland also, the whole thing. He had the schut. He helped people went to distribute the books. Rabbeinu's word in the world. Okay. Sometimes you could be a neighbor, and you could be a guest by someone. A neighbor next door. Where is that? Sometimes the electricity falls. Shabbos, or a weekday, and they can't cook. They can't be in the house. They don't have a heater. And you bring them into your house. You're your neighbor next door, and we're doing mitzvah, dochi dois. Or the door locked. Door is locked. What are you going to do now? Right? And your neighbor hosts you, he's doing a mitzvah tochim d'oraisa, even though it's your next door neighbor. You don't have to go far.
Since we learn that this is the yeshiva, do we have an obligation to talk about the teachings of Rabbi Arush?
Not since you're in yeshiva, since you're a Jew. Just because of the fact that you're a Jew and you know about these things.
Yeah.
That's what Avraham Avinu did. We have to be like Avraham Avinu. He hosted people in the house just in order to be able to talk with them. That's the reason he had the four openings in the tent.
And if we're going to be going to somebody's house in the neighborhood for a Shabbos meal,
okay,
is that something we should be
100%? Talk to them about bitachon and emunah and about talking to Hashem. Like Ezra does to everyone who walks into his house. He makes sure to be telling him that he bought it. Yeah, to learn from Rabbi Ezra. Top.
I can tell you from experience, people like that they enjoy that.
Yeah,
they
sure.
They don't hear this.
No, they don't.
Really, and they really. One man told me, he said, you know, I've been to Uman twice. A big businessman. I would have never thought he ever went to Uman. He went with his father, who was the youngster. And he says, now my son becomes bar mitzvah, I'm going to start going again with this.
My brother has a good friend in Alon Shvut, and we were going once, we were collecting money for my sister's wedding a long time ago. My first sister. My brother said, come, we're going to go to this guy. He's a big Breslava. So we knock on the door. I'm expecting to see a Breslava, right? See a guy, little kippah sruga, clean shaved. I told my brother afterwards, you sure that's the guy? Maybe it's his brother, or I don't know, someone else. No, big breastplate. He goes to Uman every opportunity he has. Not only for Rosh Hashanah, he takes people to Uman all the time. Unbelievable! Can't know anything. You don't know anything about anyone.
Can't judge a book by its cover.
Can't judge a book by its cover. Yeah. So we finished with this earlier. One more lacha. If people come, they go into a different city, and they're staying in a hotel, a kosher hotel, and they're paying enough money that they could eat also in the hotel, and everything's okay. And then they come to your house for a visit. You have to treat them very nicely, I think. But it's not a mitzvah to host them. It's a mitzvah just to stop. It has to be nice to everyone. But a mitzvah to host is only for someone who has nowhere to sleep and nowhere to eat. Or no one to eat. But if someone who's staying in a hotel in Yerushalayim and they have Mehadrin food and he's going to eat over there. So beautiful. I remember we were in Argentina. In Buenos Aires. We were supposed to be there over Shabbos, on the way somewhere, I don't know, whatever. So I really didn't want to eat in the hotel. There was no food in the hotel anyways. It was like a motel, like just a room. And I had to buy a pot to cook, I don't know, or to eat with whatever. I really wanted to be hosted by a family, just a family. Tell me where you are, we'll go, you know. And I couldn't find them. They were very suspicious. Very suspicious. They were very worried. Who are you? What are you? And no, I couldn't find them to go. But you understand how important it is. Also, there's another story we had in Chile. We, you know, here in Eretz Yisrael, anyone that comes, of course, come to my house.
Put in a revolving door. Mm-hmm. Put in a revolving door, right?
So, I remember in Chile once, and we were going from where we were, which is 800 kilometers away from the capital, and we were going to the capital for Chavez for some reason. And we met on the way this one of these Israeli metayim. Mochileros, whatever they call them, travelers. So we told them to come with us to the family. We're going there, they're going to find you a place. Shabbos to be a kosher food. And we go there, and she tells us afterwards, the host, why'd you bring this person? I said, what's wrong? I don't know who she is. Maybe she's a drug. Maybe she's this. Maybe she's that. This is so suspicious. That's crazy. This is really a girl from out of this time. How bad could they be? Very, very suspicious. Because his communities are very isolated and they live alone and they're very careful, they're very worried. In other communities, main communities, the big communities in America and stuff, there's a lot of hosting. In Europe also. I've been to many places, the hosting there is beautiful. Much. But the most was in the Met in Zurich. In Zurich, I mean, anything like it, people fighting over us.
You have those numbers, Zurich. What? You said last time there was like, people who host
your
problem, if you
didn't
have phone numbers, let us
know. Unbelievable.
Yeah, in Zurich. Mm-hmm. The Hasidic community, the Rechavir community, they're fighting over us. No, you come to me. No, why did you come? I told you live up the hill. So what? Yeah, because he lives across the street from the shul. Why would I walk 20 minutes? He lives there. Why I go till the lake? So we went there, we lived there, and another guy said, come on dinner. I said, we don't need dinner. We're busy here. We didn't come to eat. We came to, no, you must. And he forced us to come to his house and there's a whole meal. In Zurich, I've never seen. Also in Basel. In Basel also. went to Basel.
Also Switzerland.
Yeah, in Switzerland. And went to the shul. And we had noticed that we don't care if you stay in the shul. It was snowing outside. So the guy, and then Rav Greenwald, that's it, Rav Yehuda Greenwald, I remember his name. You're by me. Right away, right after Maariv, didn't ask questions. You're by me. Nothing, where are you staying? Nothing. You're by me. He saw the books also that he liked very much. And he gave me host us. Mashu. Everything we needed. It's beautiful, Mashu. They're only for 24 hours. Anyway, look at the stories I have, yeah, from all over the world. Yeah. Briti, shalom.